Thank you so much, Rabbi Bacon. I appreciate your kind words. It's amazing to see you. And we do have a long-standing friendship. And you are a bracha in my life. You're a bracha to the Yeshiva University community. And thank you so much for this opportunity and privilege. I said to Rabbi Bacon before we began, when we were both back in YU more years ago than either of us want to remember, I don't think I ever dreamt in a million years I would have bet everything against the possibility that I would actually be delivering a Sichas Musar at YU. I'm not one to give Musar, but I'll share some thoughts with you this evening with deep appreciation. It's also great to see so many familiar faces of Talmidim from our community and of friends. Thanks for joining tonight. I want to offer a big Hakaras HaTov to YU, to Yeshivas Rabbi Yitzchak Gachanan in general, which had such a formidable impact in shaping who I am and continues to enrich me in so many ways, my Rebbeim, my Chaverim, Rabbi Bacon among them. So I don't have an opportunity often, and I want to thank Yeshiva University. We're going through a time of crisis. You all know that. I don't have to elaborate. The fact that you're not in a Beis Medrash and you're not learning opposite a Chavrusa and you're not living on a Yeshiva campus and instead everybody is dispersed, everyone's dislocated, everybody is trying to tap into some form of an inspiration from wherever they are, we are in an intense time of crisis. But there's a principle. And the principle is that within every crisis, there's also opportunity. And if a person focuses on the crisis, they'll be debilitated. The person will be frozen, paralyzed. But if we search and we seek within the crisis for the opportunity, in fact, it can be transformed into a springboard for growth. And I'll give you one example. This is an opportunity for me to talk to you tonight. Rabbi Bacon and I have tried to plan this many times, but it's not easy to pop into New York from South Florida. But because of this crisis, there's the opportunity for me to use the technology platform to share some thoughts with you. You are a group of B'nai Torah, of B'nai Aliyah, the members of the Beis Medrash of the Yeshiva University community. You're at a time in your life and a place in your life in which you are working on yourself. And the truth is that every time and in every place of our lives, we should be. But as B'nai Aliyah, B'nai Torah, you thrive on routine and habit, on pattern and predictability. A Ben Torah's day is defined by their Sedarim, morning Seder, and afternoon Seder, and night Seder, by which Zman it is. It's Kayet Zman, it's Chorev Zman, it's Beina Zmanim. The life of a Ben Torah is defined by the order and the organization, by the pattern, by the predictability, and by the habit. All things that you and we are being robbed of right now in this pandemic. Our lives are upside down, they're inside out. We're not among our chaverim. We're not in the environment of a yeshiva. We're not having positive peer pressure of a Beis Medrash. We're not living our routine. Everything is upside down and inside out. And that is a crisis for many. It's a crisis that literally I've seen and counseled and I, to be honest, myself struggle with, is when a person is out of their ordinary routine, how do you still become a Ben Aliyah? If you're not normally davening in your regular morning minyan, in your regular morning zman, and your regular responsibilities, obligations, breakfast, lunch, dinner, bedtime, everything is out of whack, everything's out of the ordinary. It is nothing short of a crisis, but it presents also an opportunity. And we have a Masorah, that whatever the challenge we're going through, it's also a window and an invitation to be able to break through that wall, to climb over it, around it, or under it, and to be able to emerge and come out even stronger. That wherever is the nekuda of the crisis is also an indication of exactly where there's an opportunity for breakthrough, an opportunity for personal growth. And my dear Chaverim, I want to share with you tonight that in my opinion, what I'm thinking about and working about for myself is that as much as we're going through a crisis, if we can endure, if we can overcome, if we can triumph over that voice that self-sabotages, if we can overcome that urge to break our pattern and routine and not to live our best selves and our best days, then we in fact will discover things about ourselves that can last a lifetime. We will work out muscles that will be strong, that will carry us for the rest of our lives when one day this will turn around and when we will be together. Well, lessons we learn and the strengths that we cultivate within ourselves now will define us and will last us for a lifetime. I was on a call earlier today with Rabbanim, with Dr. Avi Michel. You know him, he's a part of the counseling department at Yeshiva University. And he posed the question that we as Rabbanim, we as rabbis should think about posing to our friends, our members, our congregants, but we should pose it to ourselves. That in 25 years from now, when we will look back, we will say, during this time, I worked on X. I used this time to discover about myself Y. I will never forget what I accomplished, what I achieved. It could be a safer, a learning, a midah, a chesed, time with people that I had been neglecting, relationships that I had not been nourishing. But what will we look back at this time and say, we grew, we learned? Will it be enough to say we survived? Or do we want something so much more? And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. And I'm not in the Beis Medrash. There's no ma'ariv or clock or hard stop. Rabbi Bacon, it's dangerous to ask a pulpit rabbi to give a sichas musar when people can just hang up when they're tired. But we'll try to nevertheless honor the time. Our parsha, Parsha Zemor. Perech of Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. We have the story of the menorah. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Tzavos Bnei Yisrael, Vayikhu Eilecha, Shemen Zayis Zoch, Kasis Lamaor, Lehaalos Ner Tamid. The instruction, the mission, the mandate of light of the menorah is characterized by the word Tamid. Skip ahead two more psukim. Ala menorah atahora yaroches haneros. On this pure menorah, one should organize the candles. Lefnei Hashem Tamid. Again, we see this word Tamid. Rashi tells us the word Tamid means milayla lelayla. Quoting the pasuk later in Bamid. But Rashi tells us the word Tamid here doesn't mean that the menorah has to be lit continuously, consistently, perpetually. Tamid means it has to be lit every single night. The Ramban understands Tamid differently. Says the Ramban, Tamid af b'Shabbos, that you light the menorah even on Shabbos. Tamid af b'Tumah, even a Kohen is Tameh, a Kohen is impure, also lights the menorah. This word Tamid means regularly. Rashi says it doesn't mean always, it means regularly. Says the Ramban, so regularly that when you're out of your element and you're out of your comfort zone, when it's Shabbos, who lights a candle on Shabbos? When you're Tameh, b'Tumah, and you're in doing part of an avoda of lighting the menorah. That Tamid, nevertheless, there is that commitment. Nevertheless, there is that sense of devotion. Rav Volbe, in Shirei Chumash, and in a moment we'll quote his Alei Shor. Rav Shlomo Volbe Zatzal in Shirei Chumash points out that from here we derive the very definition of what a masmid is. If you're on this call, if you're listening to a Sichas Musar at 10 to 10 on a Tuesday night, I believe you're among those who are aspiring to be masmidim. To be a masmid. What does it mean to be a masmid? So classically we define a masmid as who's burning the midnight oil? Who's the last one in the Beis Medrash? Who's the first one there in the morning? Who is there at any given moment? But says Rav Volbe, you see from this Pasuk Rashi and Ramban, that's not what the word masmid means. What the word masmid means is regularly, consistently, a schedule of learning. It means you don't deviate. It means that you learn not just 5 or 6 days a week when schools are open, but a masmid has a learning seder on Shabbos. A masmid based on this Ramban, bitumah, when you're out of your element, when you're not living among your chaverim or lifting you up. When you don't have the kol Torah of a Beis Medrash and the positive peer pressure of the atmosphere of the yeshiva, not that you're living betumah, but you're out of your ordinary circumstance, to be a masmid tumid means nevertheless, you don't waver. Nevertheless, you don't compromise. You don't deviate. You don't take a step back. You continue. In his Alei Shor Chelik Beis, on page Shechav Beis, Rav Volbe elaborates, not referencing Parshas Emor, but the same theme, and he says, in fact, the following. Sometimes life doesn't work out exactly according to the order and the pattern and the calendar and the schedule that we set. I've got to tell you, that's my life. There's not a night I go to sleep and I say, this day went the way I wanted it to, the way I planned it to, the way I hoped it would. There's not a day. Every day throws at you a curveball with whatever you had planned to do and whenever you had planned to do it. Doesn't matter what stage you are in life. Life throws you curveballs. There are urgent matters, and they supersede whatever your ordinary pattern, whatever you wanted to go to the early minyan, something came up, a sick child, an obligation or responsibility. You woke up earlier than you got less sleep than you wanted. You had scheduled time to learn, or whatever the thing is in life, there are urgent matters that rise. Says Rav Volbe, I can't elaborate and I can't list them because for everyone, there is an endless list of the interruptions to our lives. That's part of the pattern, the cycle, the rhythm of life. There are things that will knock us out of our schedule and off of our pattern. And I wish I had time to read you the whole thing inside, but I'll tell you what he says. Says Rav Volbe, you know what the test of who you are, the test of your character, whether you're a masmid or not, is whether you can live tamid even betumah, even on Shabbos, even when you've been knocked off your schedule. When you're not in the yeshiva, and you're not in the dorm, and you're not in the Beis Medrash. When at home, and no one's around, and no one's looking, and no one's keeping track, and there is no healthy competitiveness of kinasov from Tar B'Chochma. Are you still learning a little extra? Are you still chazering an extra time? Are you still keeping your chovos, your personal commitments to yourself, in learning, in avodas Hashem, in davening, in chesed, in shmiras einayim, shmiras aloshen, in every area of life? Are you a masman? Are you dependable and reliable? Are you predictable? Are you consistent and are you constant? Are you tamid? Not only when it's easy and not only in an environment that reinforces, but are you tamid always, wherever and whenever, and no matter what life throws your way? And Rav Volpe here then quotes the story of Noach, that Noach, bo re'e ma she'omru chazal al Noach, Vayachal Noach Isha Adama Vita Kerem. Noach comes off the teva and he plants a vineyard. Why Vayachal Miloshen Chulin? Hayalolaso Tchila Benetia Acheres. He should have planted spirituality, personal growth. He should have planted continuity in the world. The Torah is not critical of him for needing a lachayim. Three decks, countless animals, feeding, cleaning. You'd need a lot more than a lachayim. Nobody could be critical of Noach for planting a vineyard. The problem was the Seder, the order. Says Rav Volpe, you see your priority by your ability and capacity to maintain order. Are you disciplined even in the environment that is antithetical to discipline, in which it's hard to lead a disciplined life, in which it's difficult to live b'seder? Living with Seder is the key. It is the defining characteristic of a Ben Aliyah, of a Ben Torah. It is the defining characteristic of a person who wants to be shaped and molded and look at life through the prism of Torah. So I'll ask you why. What's the difference? So you're not a Seder. You're sloppy. You're not punctual. You're not consistent. So what? Isn't what really matters to daven b'kavana? Doesn't what really count to be learning Torah and to remember that learning? To be stark in your learning? Isn't it having midos tovos or doing chesed? Who cares what your room looks like right now at home? Did you make your bed this morning? Did you put your laundry next to the hamper or in the hamper? Did you hang up your towel after you used it? What is your desk? What do your svarim look like? Who cares? What matters is how you davened. What matters is your midos, how you spoke to your parents and your siblings. What matters is how much learning you get done. Who cares? Seder, Noach, this order, that order, tamid, regularly, unpredictably, the right time, the set time. What does it matter? What does it matter? And the answer, my friends, is that Seder is a religious value. I want to give a Shabbos HaGadol Drasha in my shul for an hour and a half, which I'm not going to do. You can exhale now. But Seder, trust me, I'm happy to share the Makoros with anyone who wants them. Seder is a religious value. The Gemara in Chulin Kuf Lamed Zayin tells us, Man Resh Sidra Bebavel. You know, the head of the Jewish people, the head of the Jewish community, the Resh Yeshiva, the one that we turn to, for Chazal, the Gemara, what is their name? The Resh Sidra, the person who lives with the most Seder, who is the most organized and the most punctual, the person who lives with the most discipline. Man Resh Sidra Bebavel. Pasuk tells us, V'arachta Es Erko, when it talks about defining particular value. And here the Unkelus makes a comment. V'vesas Hashulchan V'arachta Es Erko, V'vesas Menor V'lesas Menor Seah. Bring the table and lay it out. Bring in the menorah, also the subject of our parasha we mentioned. This is back in Shmos Perek Mem. Vatal yas pasura v'tistar yas sidra. What does it mean? What is the erech, the worth of something? Vatal, the tistar yas sidra, the seder. How well is it organized? Because you know, how much you live with seder says how much you value. What is the erech of something? Do you value your time? Do you value your possessions? Do you value your power of speech and your words? Do you value your dignity and your discipline and the opportunities and talents that you have? The author of Kelm points out, we don't worship Seder as an ends unto itself. Punctuality and organization are not what it's really all about. The author of Kelm gives a mushel, a pearl necklace. If I ask you, what's the valuable part of a pearl necklace? Of course, you'll tell me it's the individual pearls on the necklace. The string or the strand itself is negligible. It's worth almost nothing. It's a string. It's a strand. What does it matter? Says the author of Kelm, of course the pearls are the value. But if you don't have the string, there's nothing to hold it all together. Without a string, the pearls snap. They run all over the floor. You don't have them. They do nothing for you. And similarly, says the author, the same is true with punctuality and with organization and with discipline, with Seder and Hasmada. It's not an ends unto itself. It's negligible worth being committed and obsessed with being organized and punctual and disciplined. However, it's the string that holds the pearls. The pearls are Torah, the pearls are tefillah, the pearls are chesed, the pearls are midos tovos, but that string that holds it all together, that makes it work, that gives it a collective value and function, is our commitment to Seder. Not when it's easy, and not when it's reinforced, but even right now, when all of us are out of our element. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that ultimately we'll come upstairs and we'll all be challenged, we'll all be asked a series of questions, you know, the Gemara, and one of them is Kavata Itim La Torah. And the Balei Musar point out, it doesn't ask Lamadata Torah. It doesn't say how many times did you make it through Shas, how many times did you Chazer over Mesechta, did you always complete Shnayim Mikra? The question is not how much Torah you learned, but the question is Kavata Itim, were you a Masmid? Did you have responsible set times for learning? Did you keep to them and honor them not only when it was easy, but when you were Shabbos Betumah, when you were out of your element, when it was inconvenient and uncomfortable? How much of a masmid we are is what will be asked, because it says everything about us. The Gemara in Sota Daf Mem Tes tells us, Olma Amai Kayim, what holds the world together? Akedusha Desidra. And the Balei Musar again understand in a play of words what it means, Akedusha Desidra, what holds the world together, the string that holds all those invaluable, precious pearls, is Kedusha Desidra. It's the holiness and the sanctity of a commitment to discipline and to order and to being a masmid, to know what you want to accomplish and how you're going to do it. So practically speaking, do not go to bed tonight and don't go to bed any night without knowing exactly what you plan to do tomorrow. What are you going to learn? What are you going to review in your learning? What responsibilities do you have for school or academically? What are your chores at home? Who are the people you need to call and check in on? What will be your schedule? Just because we can't go to Minyan doesn't mean that we shouldn't be waking up at a set time. Just because we can't daven Betzibur doesn't mean that we wake up whenever we wake up, no matter what time it is. Well, what does it matter? As long as I daven before the Sovah Zman Kriya Shema, before the Sovah Zman Tefillah, it matters. It says everything about us, our integrity, our dignity, and our sense of discipline, the Seder with which we launch our day. You all know the famous speech, maybe you saw it turned into the book, by the naval captain who had a graduation, talked about make your bed. The most important thing you'll do the whole day, the first thing is make your bed. It'll set your day on the proper path. What is your plan tomorrow? Because if you don't have a plan, if you say, I'll probably learn, I'm trying to organize with my chavrus, I have things I need to do, maybe I'll study, maybe I'll write the paper, maybe I'll clean my room, maybe I'll call my grandmother, maybe, equals a life of undiscipline, equals a life of failing to accomplish and achieve who we can be and the difference we're meant to make and the best version of ourselves that every one of us is capable of being. All ma'amai kayim ha-kedusha desidra, there is a holiness and a sanctity that even when we are out of our element, as Rav Volbe writes, even when life has thrown us a curveball, and there is no minyan that we have to make it to, and there is no one taking attendance at shir, and there is no positive peer pressure in a base medrash, to be a masmid, to live tamid, doesn't mean how much we learn, but it means how regular we are in our learning. Don't go to bed tonight. I don't care if it's on Outlook, or if it's on Google Calendar, or if it's on an old-fashioned pen and paper. Write down your plan tomorrow. What time are you waking up? How long is breakfast? When is first Seder? What are you accomplishing? What will your day look like? Because, you know, there's a great management guru, Peter Drucker, who said, what gets measured gets managed. At the end of the day, how do you know if you had a good day if you didn't know what you planned to do that day? How do you know if you honored your commitments if you have no idea what your commitments are? If you never articulated them and you never recorded them and now you can never measure them? My family suffered a terrible tragedy in this virus. My first cousin's husband, Rav Zalman Hillel Fendel, Zalman Hillel ben Rav Zacharia Zatzal, was a great Talmud Chacham, lived in Lakewood, father of 12 children, and very suddenly and out of nowhere was struck with the coronavirus and within a few days was gone from this world. A terrible tragedy and a terrible loss for our family. I want to share with you, he was an accountant. He taught himself. He was brilliant. He accomplished in 2 hours a day what took people the whole day to work, but his life was defined by his learning. If you go on mishpacha.com, you'll see they have an article about him. It's extraordinary. But one of his 12 children wrote up a beautiful, beautiful essay, which literally is a musar shmuz, where he tried to write about his father's commitment to hasmada, to learning, that the Torah was his keva, it was his ikar, and everything else was tafel, everything else was secondary. And I want to close by reading it to you. He writes the following. Tati's chovos were real, never letting go of them. If he went away for the day or night, the full pile of Sfarim came along, his small Gemara, his small Rambam. And so it was on the flight going home with him from London following my vort. Tati was learning throughout, moving from one sefer to the next. I recall at David's wedding, Tati had folded in his pocket a piece of paper. It was a copy of that day's Blat Gemara, which he had not yet finished. He went to his own son's wedding with a copy of the pages of the Gemara that he had not yet completed because he was a masmid. He made a commitment what he was going to learn and he was going to honor it no matter what. Tati would say to me, the trick is consistency. At Tati's recent Siyam HaShas, he explained that the Gemara Nida ends off Talmud Bavli with Kol HaShona Alochas B'chol Yom, meaning whatever you choose to do per day, three blot, one daf, a Mishnah, it must be B'chol Yom. Never miss a day. The closing message of Shas is whatever you commit to, it must be b'chol yom. Be a masmid. Do it each and every day. Let it define you. Reb Zalman Hillel's daughter shared, she too became an accountant. And she called her father right before the tax deadline, April 15th, the busiest day of the year. Breathlessly, she called him. She said, Tati, are you finished? And he said, yes, I'm almost finished. I have a few lines left and I'm making a siyum tonight. And she sighed. She said, no, Tati, it's April 15th, the taxes. He said, yeah, that I finished a long time ago. That's what it means, Toras HaKeva, when your core is who you are, is defined by Torah, and everything else is ancillary and secondary. It was who he was. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Halicha Shlomo on Moadim Chelik Beis, in a footnote, it can be lost. He writes the following, this will define who you are as a Ben Torah. I'm up against the clock, Rabbi Bacon, I'm finishing. But listen to the words of Rav Shlomo Zalman. He says, Lefamim hayamam letzis chazik b'shmir zmanim kevon l'sidri ayom. Rav Shlomo Zalman every now and then would get very strong when he would encourage a person to observe and to be disciplined in punctuality, time, commitments, be a masmid. And he would say, Achila b'zman kavua, v'sheina b'zman kavua, v'shar sidri ayom. And he would say the following, Tzurbim rabim mikresi shayu mukhsharam lezgadal tiferes. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I knew many young Bachrim. I knew Bnei Torah and they were poised for greatness. They could have achieved great things. And what was their kryptonite? My word, not his. What was their downfall? They didn't know how to lead disciplined lives. They didn't have a schedule and they weren't rigorous in keeping to it. And they didn't take these obligations upon themselves. They didn't live with Seder. He said, I knew great people, but they didn't become great because they didn't live with Seder. We've left Mitzrayim, we're counting down to our Sinai. Mitzrayim, those borders and boundaries that hold us back, our poor time management, our poor planning, and our poor execution, and our poor self-discipline and regulation. That's Mitzrayim. Let's break free. As we count down and we want to stand at the base of our Sinai together, we will achieve that freedom through a life of discipline, that each and every one of us is worth being called a masmid. Whether you're able to learn an hour a day or 23 hours a day, you could be a masmid either way. When you commit to what you're going to accomplish, when you put it down on paper, and when at the end of the day you measure it, may we all achieve the best version of ourselves and break through, and please God, be back together in a bustling, thriving base measures with a Kol Torah, which will reinforce and propel us to even greater and greater heights. Thank you so much.